This is when we need to realize often life is hard. We have real life problems, and we have the if only attitudes. Do you think we spend a lot of our lives thinking, if only, that we waste so much of our life sacrificing, compromising what we believe in for that something we think we should have? I think we're really honest with ourselves. We'd find that we all do that in some way or another. We want that if only thing to be answered or taken away. I'm sure we all can relate to that. Who wants, when we're going through a trial, could we just hit the easy button and be done with it? I mean, who wants a trial, right? I mean, okay, so I'm going to go here. Remember James 1, 2, and 3? Not a verse that you go to, not your favorite verse to go to when you're in a trial. I did a study of James last spring, and it just came to mind. So it says, consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, patience. See, that verse is something because it doesn't say if we're going to go through trials. It says when we're going to go through trials. And this is probably not the verse that you're going to throw out to your best friend or somebody when they're going through a trial. This is more so for us to go, you know, God has a purpose here. And I think God has a plan for our trials, that he grows us in the areas that we so desperately need. And so I like the way, okay, Jeff Bethke describes joy. He says, joy isn't an emotion based on circumstance. That's happiness. Joy is an anchor for the soul, that's possible despite circumstances. Leaning on Jesus and the power of his resurrection, you can have joy no matter what because he defeated the grave. It's living under the umbrella of grace and mercy. With that said, I think we have to be really careful when we have a loved one or a family, a friend or whatever that has been going through a trial for a long time. We need to be really kind of careful about how we go to them, maybe in speech and in our actions, because I think sometimes we just want to be done with it. We don't want to sit down and talk to another family member that's been having the same old struggle. I think we do have to be careful with that, just to be aware of. So verse 8 says, we see that Elkanah tries to help by asking her, why are you weeping? Why aren't you eating? You know, I just realized I didn't read, I only read up to 7. So it says, I'm sorry, verse 8 says, here, her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more than 10 sons? So here's the thing. It seems like Elkanah has a lot of confidence. It seems like he's kind of like, hey, look at me. Aren't I all worth that? I mean, like, it's kind of like, I think he couldn't really understand what Hannah was going through because he had already experienced what parenthood would be like. He was already a parent. Penina had children. He knew what it was to be like to be a father. I think it'd be a lot different if it was he was going side by side with Hannah year after year, just anticipating to have this child. So he tried, but he couldn't really understand what she was going through. Life hurts sometimes, and our husbands just want to fix our problems. I think we as women, we have a tendency to do the same thing. We want to fix our husband's problems, our friend's problems, our children's problems. And here's the thing with that. We sometimes, instead, allowing God to work in their lives, even in the really difficult times. So here's the cool part. Verse 9. Verse 9 is cool because something changes. Something changes in Hannah. Verse 9 says, this one time she rose up. It doesn't say what happened, but her pain causes her to go toward God. In God's presence, in the tabernacle, it doesn't say where she went in the past, but it does say this. She got to this place in her life. She got to a crisis, this low point in her life that made her stand up and move toward God into the tabernacle. And in the midst of her distress and heartache, I don't think she feels any different. Here's the thing. I don't think she feels any different. The key thing is she reacts differently. She does something different. So one of the greatest benefits, I think, that accompanies this kind of emotional pain is that it drives us to our knees. This is what happened to Hannah, and I know this to be true in my own life. I'm sure that there's a lot of you right now that know what it's like to have that kind of pain too as well. The central issue with pain in our lives is, are we going to allow it to go between us and God, or become a means to push us toward him. Maybe she realized how small she was and how big her God is. I think we need to realize there's nothing too big for our God. No problem, no nothing, no trial that we can ever go through that's too big for our God. Our God is faithful. So she goes into the tabernacle. She cries out to the Lord. She shares everything with him. God already knew how she was feeling, but she poured her heart out to her. And here's the thing. Hannah always knew she wanted a son. But the danger, I think, in wanting that son is it kind of became her if only, her idol, everything that was based on having that son. But something changed in Hannah that day. She said, Lord, I want that son for your purpose, not just mine. She wanted the privilege of having a son, but she also wanted the privilege of giving that son back to the Lord. So we moved on to down to verse 12 and 12, 13, 14. It says that she continued to pray. Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. But Hannah says, not so, my lord. I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I'm pouring my soul out to the Lord. She says, do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Yikes. Can you imagine this poor thing? I want to just run over and give her a hug. But I mean, like, how many of us would have got a little tad and bit defensive? Yeah. Think like you go to church Sunday morning. You're sitting in the back. You can't pull it together. You're crying. You've got this heart. You're just brokenhearted. You cry all the way through church. Pastor Jim comes up to you afterwards and says, so Lene, what do you have? What are you drinking back here? What did you put in your orange juice this morning? I mean, like, perspective like this. I mean, she probably was, like, blown away. But here's the thing, too. Since Eli's sons were wicked, and they did all sorts of crazy things back then, I think Eli, to his defense, he might have seen some women that his sons have brought into the tabernacle, and maybe they have been drinking, or who knows. So maybe it wasn't too far off, so we'll give him that amount of grace, I guess. So Eli answered and says, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked. I think he kind of realized how sincere she really was, and he realized he was too quick to judge. How many times have we been too quick to judge a person or a circumstance? I know I have. So can you even imagine making a vow like Hannah? Yeah, she poured out her heart and a vow to give her child to the Lord, and Hannah was comforted and changed. So verse 18 says this. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She had no promise at this point that she would have had a child. She did have Eli's encouragement, but it wasn't like a promise from God. I really think she finally released her hurt, her heartbrokenness that she had, like her disappointment, to the will of God. And we know what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And why? Because the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So one very important lesson I think we can learn from Hannah is this. Expect situations and trials to be hard and not easy in our lives. When she so desperately wanted a child, she sat and she watched Penina have kids. Maybe it didn't happen to you, but do you remember if you wanted to have children, everybody else was having children around you, it seemed like? Perhaps it was getting married. When you wanted to get married, everybody else was around you getting married, and so on. Isn't it funny that whatever we're waiting on, it seems as if everyone in the world is getting that except you. So, the next morning, they arose and they worshiped before the Lord. And they went back to their home in Ramathah, and the Lord remembered her. Meaning, her and her husband had some alone time. So, let's be moving on right from there. But anyways, remember that she prayed in verse 11 that God would remember her, right? So in the course of time, Hannah did conceive and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. And she named him Samuel because she asked God for him. So let's just think about the vow that Hannah made to God about giving her son back to him. After she so desperately wanted a child, God answered her prayer and she has a son. So what's Hannah going to do? Could you even imagine what is going on in her mind? I know here at the church, just like on Sunday, we dedicate the kids to during church service. But we don't go ahead and dedicate them and leave them with Pastor Jim in Virginia afterwards and say, "Go, here you go." So it goes on to say that Elkanah went up with all of his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vows, but Hannah did not go. She said, "I'm going to stay home. I'm going to wean this child before I give him to the Lord." So Elkanah's like, okay, he's pretty laid back. He's like, okay, whatever, sounds good. That's good. And so he goes off. So verse 24 says, so she weans the boy, and Sammy at this point in time is probably like 3 or 4 years old. Could you even imagine? Like, as a mama, I'm like, I can't even imagine what it would have been like. So they get a bowl, they get the ephah flour and the wine, and they go to the house of the Lord to have this big, huge sacrifice. And this was a big deal, okay? So she kept her promise with the Lord, taking him to Eli and giving him to the Lord to serve in the tabernacle. And Hannah says to Eli, she says, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord had granted me what I asked of him. So now I'm giving him to the Lord." So there Eli worshipped God along with Hannah, and she wrote this beautiful prayer in 1 Samuel 2:1-10. But you can just tell her attitude towards God is like, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord, my horn is lifted high, and my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." And isn't that true? Here's another thing. God doesn't despise human desires. I believe Hannah's longing for a child was obviously placed in her heart by God. Her husband tried to comfort her and didn't understand what was going on. But Hannah's desire for a son would not be quenched. She was mentally like abused by Peninnah, and she was totally misunderstood by Eli. But the cool thing was, she was heard by God. God did not punish her for being discontent. God knows and understands our feelings, and he invites us to bring our request to him, just like Philippians 4:6 says. I think Hannah realized that her strength came from God. And God can use human weakness to accomplish great things. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And the second part of that verse is, "Why? For there I will boast all more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." So Samuel, Hannah's son, grew up to be a great man of God, the final judge, the prophet who anointed the two first kings of Israel. So perhaps if Hannah hadn't gone through the pain and the heartache, Samuel wouldn't be Samuel. Maybe Hannah would have reached the point of desperation. Maybe she wouldn't have reached the point of desperation to surrender her situation to the Lord. Sometimes the most painful places in our lives become the most productive places in achieving God's purpose that we would have never seen or never would have understood. I know this to be true in my own life. I know Marcus and I, we've had some significant things in our lives that have happened. And I know what it's like to cry out to the Lord. I know what it's like to go before the Lord and not even have words to speak because the situation seems so far gone. But I know in the midst of those times, I can look back and I see God's grace and mercy. And he is so faithful and so good. And his timing is always perfect. And this might be a shock to you, but I don't have it all together. And so in those trials, I am just learning and learning. And I think that's the thing. I mean, like, God's glory is revealed in these trials. And God wouldn't put all these scriptures regarding hardships and trials in his word if he didn't know that this is what was going to happen and he didn't know this is how we were going to respond. So every person's going to experience desires that will not be fulfilled in this lifetime, and circumstances that cause grief, heartache, disappointment, and pain. I wish it wasn't true, but it is. Many times we simply don't even understand these things. But aren't you glad we serve a God that does, a Heavenly Father that cares about us and knows us and wants the best for us? I think in Hannah's life, we see that God knows our story from beginning to end, that everything has a purpose, and we can trust him in all things. I want to leave you with the scripture that came to mind after the fact, but it's Isaiah 41:10. And it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And being its renewed women, this is like renewed strength. So I hope that we all have renewed strength in Christ. Thank you, ladies.